today we start a new series, The Walking Dead. All right? So just watch out. If you doze off, you might not get out of here alive. Okay? You're not allowed to sleep in my sermon. This week has been great because the Cubs won! Ah, yes, 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 yes. So I'm a Cubs fan. I'm from Chicago. My son born there. My wife and I, we all started there. So I've been thinking, okay, what's the end of the world going to be like? Okay, so we have the Cubs win after 100 years, 108. The Walking Dead series is deadly, the most popular or one of the most popular TV show, you know. And then the Cubs gathering was one of the seven largest gathering celebration in the whole world. 5 million people. Maybe we can safely say that the world is going to end very soon. How about that? And then the other day, I've been walking around and my wife said, there's some kind of a funny smell in our house, you know? What smell? See? I didn't say anything because when you haven't changed your dress for like 7 days, you know, because I have to wear the same clothes 7 days, fruit of the looms have not been changed. So we're back to normal. I'm clean now and smelling good because we won. That's like an afterthought laughing there, right? How many of you know fruit of the loom? You know? Yeah. I have clean fruit of the loom, okay? All right. So I want to talk about sacrifice today, and let me read this sacrifice. And let me read the scripture for you. Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. This is Abraham and Isaac going up to Mount Moriah. And the story of sacrificing, or God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. So how is this related with the Walking Dead, right? So let's get to that and talk about what's... See, the Walking Dead, when you look at it, it's not just a zombie show. I mean, it's not a zombie, apocalyptic show. And why is it so popular in America? Because when the first season was premiered, 17.3 people watched that show. That's a lot of people watching the show. And you may think, oh, it's going to, you know, the popularity may go down. But it's in the seventh season. And when the seventh season was premiered, how many people watched? 17 million people. It is more popular than the Sunday night football show, NFL. It splattered NFL. Okay. And this show is very gory. It's bloody and messy. Okay. And you're thinking, why would people want to watch this show? So for me as a pastor, someone that study people and culture and trends, and why these things are happening, I was studying a little bit more. And there are some common things that speaks to the heart of people in America why this show is very popular. Number one is that the show is very diverse. The actors are very diverse. If you look at all the actors, you have all kinds of people from all kinds of world acting there. Okay? Okay. Well, that's good. We are diverse here. Santa Clara is just like Santa Clara. We're very diverse. Our church is getting to be very diverse. You have a very diverse pastor standing here, you know. Right? And then there is no one hero. There is no one hero that is shouldering the show. Everybody is like kind of a hero. It's just like our church. Right? There is no hero in our church. The pastor is just like all of you. We don't worship anybody. We don't worship any leader. It's just a body of Christ. And no hero worship is allowed in Santa Clara First Baptist Church except to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? Yeah? Yes. Hero worship's forbidden here in this place. So, and then you look at it, and they're very authentic. The show is very authentic. Why is it authentic? Because it talks about the fear, the messiness of the world, and they don't try to hide it. There is no sugar coating. There is no bubble. It displays the messy, chaotic, confused, scary, frightening world just as it is. And people like that because they are real. And we talk about authenticity in the church. That unless we are authentic and real, we're not going to be able to connect with people. This show is connecting because it's telling that this is scary and showing it as it is. When you're gobbling down guts, you know, it's committed there, right? Like for young people, they say it's freaking committed, you know. Isn't that how you guys talk like that? Forgive me, Lord. So I want to talk about four changing truths. Because do you know that according to the World Health Organization, stress anxiety is the number one epidemic in 21st century. Did you know that? That anxiety is an epidemic in the 21st century. And I came to Santa Clara and said, yeah, it is. We're right there. Anxiety and stress is an epidemic here, more than in Midwest where I came from. So we're all living in fear. This AMC Walking Dead show is selling because people create fear and then you sell fear. You stoke people with fear and sell fear and it sells. So how do we live without fear? Is where I want to come in. How can we walk our life without fear? How can we live without fear? Or you like living in fear? And we want to look at Abraham and his story. So there is four life-changing truths to know on living without fear. And I'm going to preach this on four Sundays. Taking stories from Walking Dead and looking at the Bible and looking at our context, we'll all mix this up together and see what truth we can get from it. The first thing is that God sacrificed his son to deliver us from all fears. That's a truth. Okay? And there's a scripture I'll qualify all this statement with the Bible. The second is God raised Jesus from the dead so we can walk in the newness of life. In fact, this is written in the wall of Father George in The Walking Dead. Romans 6. Okay? And if you guys are watching every episode, look for some hidden scriptures in The Walking Dead and come tell me, Pastor, I saw that. The second, third thing is that God put his spirit within us and gave us the spirit of boldness and sound mind. Where do you hear that? Timothy. The fourth one, God promised immortality to mortals who believe in Jesus Christ. These four truths we will look at as we talk about walking dead. The fear and anxiety that is involved in our life, in our daily life. So, when we look at the scripture, we sacrifice what we are for what we can become. Okay. You look at Abraham's life and you sacrifice what you are to be, so you can become what you can become. How is this true? See, Abraham, his name was Abram. And he was named as Abraham later on. You see, but Abraham sacrificed Abram to become Abraham. In the story in The Walking Dead, in the first episode of season 7, Negan, the villain, had to splatter the head of Glenn in front of his wife Maggie and others, you know, and killed him. And he also, Negan also told Rick to tie up his son. In fact, Negan tied Carl, right? And said, cut off your son's arms. He had to do it, even if he doesn't want to do it. And when he was about to do it, what happened? Negan stopped it. It went back to Abraham and Isaac, just as the angel stopped the sacrifice of Isaac right before he made the sacrifice. See, Glenn was a good guy in the show. He was like the moral bowl bearer, you know. He doesn't want to kill people. But Glenn had to be killed because Daryl punched Negan. It was a punishment because Daryl punched Negan on the face. He did. He was killed because of that. There was a sacrifice involved for a mistake that somebody made. And Glenn is sacrificed for the mistake of Daryl. And I look at the story of Abraham and the story of here for punishment, for sacrifice. And it reminds me of Isaac and Jesus. See, Jesus was sacrificed for our mistake. Because Adam punched God on his face. No. Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord. And I'm not a writer, but if you're following where the script is going, I might have a clue. But Abraham, when God called Abraham, Terah was the father of Abram. When God had called Abram to leave that place, you know what was Terah? Now, that is not in the Bible, but if you go and read the Midrash or rabbinic literature, Talmud, and Mishnah, you can get some clue that Terah is the eighth descendant of Shem. Shem is the son of Noah, okay? Shem, Ham, Zabed. So Shem is the, according to the tradition, Shem is the most important son. He was the king, important descendant. Now, Terah was supposed to be a king, but he is serving Nimrod. Nimrod is the son of Japheth. Very unimportant son. So this Terah, who is supposed to be king, is a slave of Nimrod in Babylon area. And Nimrod worships who? Not God. He worships idols. But he was trusted by Nimrod, King Nimrod, and he is there in a high place. Terah, Nahor was alive, even Shem was alive. But he had gone out of his family against the family and being with Nimrod. What I'm saying is, when Abraham was called out, he was a nobody. He was not a nobody. Abraham is in a good family. The word Abram means exalted father. The names are very important. Even Abraham was exalted already in his hometown, in the community, in the city. People know him already. He didn't have to go out, earn some more. But when God called him and said, you know, I'm going to call you out because I'm going to bless you. He promised him, I'll give you a land. I'll make your nations great. Lots of descendants plus a progeny. I'll give you a son. See, three promises. Land, descendant, nation, and progeny, a son. You come out there. And Abraham obeyed and turned to Abraham, which is fathers of multitude. Not just an exalted father, but fathers of a father of multitude. So, in sacrifice, we sacrifice what we are right now for what we can become, what God has called us. God has a plan for you to become. See, Abraham sacrificed his known status for God's promise. And he said, and God said to Abraham, now I know, do not kill your son because I know you fear me. When we fear God, it's coming here. Are you with me? When we fear God, fear keeps walking. If you fear the Lord, fear is going to keep walking away from your life. Because Abraham feared God, he was able or willing to sacrifice his son. If we do not fear God, fear is going to control our lives. But when we fear God, fear starts walking away from you. You want to live without fear, you fear the Lord. So fear keeps walking. And this is true because God has ultimate claim on our life. He has the ultimate claim on our life. So set free from fear of any unwarranted claim in your life. If somebody is claiming your life, it's unwarranted. It's not true. God has a complete control about your life. When my wife and we were there in Midwest, because the binding of Isaac, Akedah, the binding of Isaac reminds me of Rosh Hosanna, which is the Jewish New Year. And we went, they eat sweets on the Jewish New Year. My wife and we took sweet to a Jewish man. And this guy was a Jew whom I had the privilege to baptize because he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and he wanted to follow the Lord Jesus. In fact, he gave his life to Christ when my wife was singing and my son was playing piano. And my son complained even today that I made a mistake playing that piano. And he's not happy about it, but a soul was saved and he was a Jewish guy in the sermon and he came forward and I baptized him. So we went there and we were celebrating the Rosh Hosanna and the eating. And he said, God's going to decide whether I'm going to live or die. Because according to the belief and tradition, God decides who will live after the New Year within 10 days to Yom Kippur, right? So the numbers, okay, these people are going to live, these people are going to die, is decided within that 10 days after the New Year. And he mentioned that, and we were talking and having a good time, and he died soon, not long after. And it reminds me of this. But he was not afraid of dying. Because he had given his life to Christ. And he said, I know where I'm going. I'm okay, Pastor. Because he had a heart issue. And he was during that time, he had great peace. He did not fear death. Because he knew where he was going. The other day, I went to a hospital. And the Flores family is here. Many of them are here. And as you know, that the Flores son passed away last Friday. And so be praying for the family. But I had a good encounter with the son. And it reminds me why I am called to be a pastor. Because when I went to see him in Stanford, that was the first time that I met him. And we walk in there. We have never seen each other. He doesn't know who I am, you know. What is this guy going to be? Was this pastor? Is he crazy, loco? I don't know, you know? And he said, and we started talking, and I know that he has a problem with his liver. And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't bring anything, but I brought a six-pack beer. Do you want to have beer with me? You know? And we start laughing and talking and opening. They gave an opening. We talk about God, church, religion. He said, oh, you know, I'm not good with religion and church. They say, no, I'm not talking about religion and church, but are you down with Christ? He say, oh yeah, I'm down with Christ. I love Jesus. You know. Then I went to hospital at Kaiser last week. When I went in there was nobody. He was cold. Warm blanket. I'm trying to put the blanket on his feet, talking to him, and he opened his eyes. He was tired and sleepy. And we talk just minor conversation here and there. But there was a time that we could have a good conversation. So I say, Jason, have no fear, no fear. Then he opened his eyes big. I say, no fear, brother. No fear whatsoever, whether here or there. Whether you go there, crossed over here, no fear. Absolutely no fear. You told me that you're down with Christ. No fear at all. You understand me? You got me? He looked at me, you know. You don't have to talk. Just shake your head. You know, we live in bubble. All our friends are like doing well, living in nice house, driving nice cars. You don't get to see people suffering here and there. Praying, crying out. The church is for that. That we are there to tell people that you can live without fear. You can walk over without fear. It's for God to decide who gets into the kingdom of God. That's not for you and me. You don't judge here who goes to heaven. You don't judge here who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. But we position people, encourage them that God is a big God and He's bigger than what we can think and comprehend. And we got to walk without fear because of what He promised us. Sacrifice what we have to obtain what God has. You know, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. When I was preparing this sermon, Facebook reminded me. What happened last year ago, right? In the status, it comes up. It was the picture that I had taken in Sharon and Jerry's house. There's a table, there are some Bible. The swimming pool is at the background. And I was writing about that I'm a homeless pastor. Because I was homeless at that time. I came here to Santa Clara not knowing where I was going to live. My wife and I, we didn't have a house, we didn't have a home. But we have a promise from Jerry and Sharon that you can live with us. So we packed our things and came, and they kept their promise. And I wrote there in the Facebook, I'm a homeless father. But when we were having devotion, it was from Psalms that God will take care of us, that He knows our dwelling place and He will protect us. And it was writing about that, that even though I don't have a home, I have my family, and where my family is, there my home is. And God will provide this homeless pastor. He did. He did. The first Saturday when we came here, last year, to start the Bethlehem work, there was a gentleman that said, hey, Carlos, come and help me with this. You remember that story? Yes? I said, okay, what do I need to do, you know? And so Carlos came running and helping. I met that gentleman again the first Saturday of this work day. He looked at me and said, you still here? I said, yeah, I'm still here. I survived a year. God is good. He provides. After 1 year, so many things have happened in our life. We have a house. We're not homeless anymore. Well, depending on, you know, how you guys treat us, that's up to you whether we're homeless or we have a home. The budget is there for vote, so it's in your hand. I can be homeless again. Abraham offered Isaac. And God provided a ram. If you offer what you have, you can receive what God has. And what God has is much better, bigger than what we have, but it's hard to give up what we have. It's hard to give up what we have, isn't it? Because we are afraid. Why does the walking dead relay and speak to the heart of people again? Because it's fearful. The world is fearful. We're talking about mass casualties and terrorism, a bomb explosion here, political crisis, financial crisis, right? We're talking about bank mortgage, rate here and there, all these things that are happening. Even this election, right? And some of you are saying, okay, if this president or this candidate win, I'm going to go to France, right? Bon chance. Some of you are saying, I don't know, but I may go to Japan and live there. Sayonara. Call me, I'll help you pack it, okay? You want to go to Canada, let me know, I'll come help pack it, okay? Think that this is going to be the end of the world. Oh, by the way, don't forget to leave your property to the church. Yes, right? Yeah. Okay. If you live there, we need it. I've been reading on the political humor, Will Rogers. He's funny, right? And I've been... The thing is, when we make a joke about a presidential election, when we make presidential joke, they get elected, you know. And the thing about Congress is that when they make a joke, it becomes a law. See? I mean, we talk about Congress, and when they make a law, what happens? It becomes a joke, right? You see, lift up your eyes and look to God for provision. It's not in the country. It's not the election. It's not your president. You look to God for provision. If we're good with God, if you're tied with God, if we're down with God, He's going to be down with us. He's going to be tied with us. When you lift your eyes and look unto God, you will not be distracted by your problems. Right now, we are distracted. We are distracted by polls. We are distracted by who is saying what. What is the next scandal going to come out? We're just distracted by these things. And your relationship with your friends, your parents, the church is going down the tube. You're not talking to your friends anymore. Some people have unfriended you. You know? You don't bring politics up in Thanksgiving. What are you going to do Thanksgiving dinner? I said, we're not just going to bring it up. It's just like a big white pink elephant. I don't know. Right? You're going to avoid it. That's not the solution. We commit to obey God's command because God controls the outcome. We follow His promises and He is faithful to provide. He provided for us to come here. I am so grateful to serve with you. You know, if you read the newsletter or celebrate, I am just so grateful. My heart is full with gratitude that I could come here and serve with all of you in this place. This is the right place. This is not a heavily Christian place. Maybe not like Midwest, you know, where Christian language and Christian norms and Christian values are just up there and you don't have to worry. You're the majority. We are the minority here, and I feel so grateful. I feel so grateful that I'm here. As we were talking about California, I met a couple that came from California to Fort Wayne, Indiana, because they want to maintain their standard of living. If they continue to live in California, they were not going to be able to do it, so they moved there, and they're maintaining their standard of living that they want to live here in California. I said, okay, what's going on here? I didn't know, right? And I was reading the real estate, the market and all, and it came, okay, like the median home price in California is about $470,000. Oh, wow. I mean, that would be like a mansion where I am. Where am I going to live, right? Then I met a pastor and talking about California, and he said, I am so glad to be back in Midwest. Who would want to go to California? You know, I'm so glad to be back. I will never go to California again. And here I am trying to think and going to California. I didn't tell him that I was going to California. He's like, why are you going there? But we're here. Just the real estate market, San Jose, it just came out yesterday that the median age in San Jose area is $1 million. Have you ever thought you will live in a $1 million home? Not me. But all your houses are valued $1 million and more. And we worry. And we are afraid. And we are fearful. Because it doesn't give security to us. We have to sacrifice what we know to inherit the unknown. Abraham sacrificed his father's house, everything, his title, his status, and when to inherit the unknown. That's the promise of God. If you start reading from Genesis chapter 12, and especially chapter 13, 15, 17, and 22, and start in Genesis chapter 13, by 13, God has increased the wealth of Abraham. His cattle have grown. Even by chapter 13, before he reached the promised land, God has prospered him already. Because he decided to inherit the unknown. God says, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. Abraham left his inheritance for God's inheritance. You know, when we obey the voice of God, he opens the windows of heaven. Abraham went and offered to the high priest in Salem, Melchizedek, which is known as the proto-Christ. People say he was Christ in Old Testament. And he went and offered one tenth to this high priest. Who told him to do that? Who told Abraham to make an offering, to bring a tithe? But he did it. And God increased his inheritance. When we are afraid, when we live afraid and fearful, there are a lot of things we don't do. There are a lot of things we don't do. Living without fear is not about knowing. It is walking without fear, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. That's matured Christians. You see, the writer knows the ending. It is fixed. The actor plays out the drama. We are in the drama. Why do you think that Game of Thrones or Walking Dead are so popular? See? Because they are committed. They are dedicated. They are all in. There's no half measure there. How many of you like half measures in your life? Would you like a half measure? We don't like half measure. Most people like full measure. All in. Whether all in or not. And Christ called us to be all in. No half measure. Committed. Dedicated. Then people can see that we're committed. We're all in. We're offering not half measure, but full measure of our love to them. We can learn from God. He gave everything. He gave his son. His only son. There was no full measure here. He was committed and dedicated. And this table is for you this morning. The body of Christ and the blood of our Lord Jesus. Anyone who follows the Lord and believe in his heart that Jesus is the Son of God is welcome to this table. Sacrifice. God called Abraham to sacrifice his son, his name, his family, his inheritance. Sacrifice. Christ was sacrificed, just like Glenn was sacrificed for the mistake of Daryl. God's asking you to make sacrifices in your life because, you hear this, small sacrifices builds up faithfulness. When you start making small sacrifices, it builds up faithfulness. Great achievements comes with great sacrifice. You have heard this, and you say, I'm good. I want to talk to the young people here. Okay, just for the young people, right? Because I care about you. Good is the enemy of great. Good is the worst enemy of great. And you settle with good, you're never going to be achieving great things. Because it's good. I'm good with good. You know, your pastor, when he was young like you, like 16, 15, 16, I was very foolishly arrogant and proud. Okay? So what I do is, like when we do tests and this, in that part of the world, we have to do a lot of final examination. Final examination determine whether we are promoted to the other class or not. Okay? So it's a long, like 4 hours of exam every day for like 7 days or something to finish all the subjects. What your pastor would do is he will do just enough to pass and say, I'm done. This is just good enough to pass, so I'm not going to do the rest of the thing. And then I'm trying to show off to my friends, I just did enough so I can pass. I don't want to. So like this, I did all until the second year of college. Right? I just barely do enough because I can get by with it. I didn't give my 100% because I could get away with it. But I'm smart. I'm telling you, see, I'm smart. I can just get away. How do you do it? You just studied the night and you passed. Yeah, I'm smart, you know. But in the GPA, when the college are deciding who to select, they're not going to see all those. All they see is what you get. And God had to knock me hard in the third year of my college. You know, you are being prideful and proud about these things. I had to humble myself because I almost failed. And God helped me because I went swimming, and in the river, people have brought their beer bottles and whatever and broken. And when I was swimming and went down in the river, it cut my leg. So I couldn't walk. It was a deep cut. So for 1 week, I couldn't walk and I had to study because I couldn't go anywhere. That saved my life. God intervened. You know, good is not enough. You got to strive for great things. Don't just let it go. You know, I didn't have a father growing up. My father died when I was 11, and I was showing off to my mom, you know, Mom, oh, I can do it. I'm telling you, if you don't have a father in your life, if you don't have a mentor in your life, I'm telling you right now that your pastor is telling you, as a spiritual father and your mentor, do not settle for good. Go for great. Give everything that you had. Are you with me? Yeah? Let's give these kids a big hand. Yes? Right? Two kids. Yes. So, when I gave my life to Christ and I humbled myself, and in my graduate year, God honored my request to Him that I want to work hard and I want to see some reward in my life. And He did that because I was ranked third in my university. Okay? In the whole university, I was ranked third. That's seven states in that area, one university. And I was ranked third in my university. And people were surprised. How did you do it? I said, I don't know how I did it. But I thank the Lord. God changed me. See? So today, if you're trying on your own without God, you also give your ambition to God and then try to live what He has planned for you. So exchange Abram for Abraham. Exchange your inheritance for God's inheritance. Exchange what you now know, your status, and go for God's status. So that's my piece with them. I had to add in the 5 minutes for the young people, so don't complain that I went over, okay? We good with that? Yes. This is a great time to be reminded of our Lord Jesus, His life, His death, and resurrection. And I pray that as we go out of this place, we'll be people of hope, people of life, walking and living without fear. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of boldness and sound mind that is in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us. So on the night that our Lord Jesus was going to be betrayed, He took the bread. He broke it. And He said, "This is my body, broken for you. You do this in remembrance of me as often as you can." We're going to remember the body of our Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for you and for me. Can we say one body? Say it like you mean it. One body. We are one body. I don't care where you came from. Your past is irrelevant. You are here. You are home. I had an opportunity this week at the parking lot. I know at parking lot people go out there and slug it out. I had an opportunity at a parking lot to tell a precious gentleman from our church to say, "Hey, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God?" And he said to me, surprised, "Yeah, with joy, I believe he's the Son of God." And I said, "You have arrived. You have arrived. Welcome home. Father, thank you for the body of Christ that was broken for you and I. Thank you for Jesus. And on the night that our Lord Jesus was going to be betrayed, he took the cup, said, "This is my blood. This is a new covenant. Drink. You remember as often as you can of my death." The blood of Jesus Christ means a lot to me, to your family life, Pastor. I'm going to ask her to lead us.
Dear God, thank you for reminding us once again that you gave all in and give us the courage to be able to give all in with faith. Thank you for reminding us that what we are going through right now is temporal, and what we look forward to is eternal. So God, give us the courage and the wisdom to be able to do life and to follow you faithfully. We pray this in your holy and sacrificial name. Amen.
Amen. Body of our Christ broken for you.